This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Boy, the 20th season of the Wenatchee Apple Sox is flying by. And here, the voice of the Apple Sox, Joel Norman. We want to kind of take a look back at it's kind of hard to say the first half of the season because we're well into the second half of the season. But the All-Star break was the All-Star break's not like right in the middle. So
not at all. It's kind of, this year was a little bit later in July. I'm thinking last year was a week earlier. So it's kind of like how MLB is. The first half is not when the All-Star break is. It's actually a couple weeks before. But we're about halfway through the second half. And like you said, flying right by.
It's almost like a two-thirds, one-third deal almost.
Pretty much. I think it's just when they can get the venue in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Wenatchee was pretty well represented.
Yeah.
That break.
Yeah, four All-Stars there. Ryan Altenberger, Jake Somm, Sam Wyatt, Cole McKenzie. Our management went down as well as myself, and it was a blast going down to Bend. They did a fantastic job, and it was fun seeing our All-Stars do well. Ryan Altenberger went he reached base three times in four plate appearances in the All-Star game, hit the only home run of the game, a three-run bomb in the sixth.
I love Bend. I was just there as a stopover to and from my trip down to California.
Yeah.
So
great area.
Love that community. Anyway, let's talk about the way the playoff formulations work for Wenatchee, because they are right in the thick of the thing for a second half, earning a second half of the season playoff berth. How does it all work?
Yeah, so right now the Apple Sox are tied for first. So if the season ended today, they would be in for that reason, and also because they've got the second best overall record in the West Coast League North Division. Victoria, the Harbor Cats, won the division in the first half, so they've already got a playoff spot. If they were to win the second half, the Apple Sox, if they had the second best or the best overall record right behind Victoria, then they would be in as well. A little complex. The easiest way to get in is just to win the division. But Victoria has been playing very well, so the Apple Sox are pretty much trying to take it one game at a time and take each series. And tonight, looking for the sweep at 6:35.
So they've kind of got two ways that they're have a good chance of earning the berth. But you just got to, like the old slogan or the old cliche says, one game at a time. But really, after a slow start, they've really put things into gear.
Yeah, it's kind of the second year in a row, ironically, where this has happened. It's been a slow first half, and then the team finds its stride in the second half. And I think I credit that to our coaching staff. They've done a fantastic job at maintaining the focus, sticking to the plan they had initially and saying it'll work, it's going to work. But they've been adjustable as need be. They've done a fantastic job. And credit to our players, they've bought in and they are committed. It's one of the things our coaching staff, head coach Kyle Crustangel, has said to them. He said, hey, you know, you only have so many chances to win a championship playing baseball. So he kind of told the guys, he said, hey, shoot, why not do it in summer ball too? Because that's still just as important.
So this particular season marks the 20th season for Wenatchee Apple Sox baseball. There is a book that has come out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a book I wrote this past offseason about the team. Our owner, Jose Oglesby, it was his idea. He said, let's have some sort of a history book on the Apple Sox. And it's not necessarily a chronological history so much as it is a storybook. It's an easy read, and you can actually pick it up starting tonight at Apple Sox games for... It'll be on sale at our souvenir stand. Again, tonight's game, 6:35. So we've got select copies available tonight. We're going to purchase more, but we're really excited to be putting this book out there. I'm pumped. This is something I spent the last year working on, and I'm really excited about the product. I think whether you like the Apple Sox or if you don't even know about them, I think you're still going to really enjoy this book because, as is summer ball, you don't always remember what happens on the field, but you remember the memories. You remember that hot dog you had. You remember that one goofy play in a game, or you remember the memories you make with your family and friends.
I think it makes the perfect thing to get autographed. You bring it back to each game and maybe get different players
exactly
to autograph. It'd be perfect for that.
Exactly. So it just kind of would add to your memories that you make, you know, and it's amazing how many people I've talked to about how, you know, this team's only been around 20 years, but you talk to them and it's like the Apple Sox are a part of their life. You know, it's just most summers for some people here in Wenatchee are going to Apple Sox games every day, meeting more people along the way, doing the same stuff, but they do it year after year because they just love the product and they love coming back. And I tried to capture that as best as possible for why they feel that way.
Well, it was a part of my life, the inaugural and then the second season. I was the PA announcer,
right.
And we talked about that a couple of months ago, the initial part of the season, initial part of the season when you came in to kind of give us a little bit of a preview of what to expect. So from your perspective, how has the season gone? We already kind of touched on a little bit of a slow start. Wenatchee has seen that before. A lot of times some of our best players can't come at the beginning of the season because they're still involved with their college program. So what has been your perspective on the 2019 campaign here so far?
The really nice thing about this group is that we basically had the core players since day one. And, that, and like you said, that is really rare at this level. But the majority of this roster was here opening day, and a lot of it is still here. And you don't always see that in a season. We've been blessed with not a lot of injuries. There's been a couple. Well, big one right now, Cole McKenzie being out. He leads our team in average, among other stats. But we've had a pretty healthy team, pretty much had the same team since day one. And that's been gigantic, because then you build stability. You have guys you can kind of lean on a little bit. I mean, I always bring up the example of Johnny Sage. Second year with the team, he plays every single day, plays in left field and bats third, and pretty much every day is a good bet to get on base. It's been really fun watching him again this summer after last year and being able to count on him. He's kind of stepped up as a result of that as being a leader for this team, and you need those in summer ball. Short season, but it's a short time to have to blend these different personalities. Guys like him make it a lot easier to do well and, you know, start putting together W's like the Sox are right now.
So, in the middle of a homestand, the club has won, three games in a row right now?
Three in a row, looking for a sweep tonight.
So, how many games left on the homestand? Because, you know, you can't just automatically assume they're going to make the playoffs, but how many home dates left for sure to catch Apple Sox baseball?
Including tonight, eight more home games. Now, there is an off day tomorrow, a game Wednesday, off day Thursday, and then we're home this whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So a lot of great chances to come out to the ballpark. We'll play over at Paul Thomas Senior Stadium, campus of Wenatchee Valley College. So, and it's a pretty good bet, too. A lot of fun promotions coming up over that stretch as well, and some really good baseball, too. The way these Apple Sox are playing, there's a really good chance there's going to be postseason games at Paul Thomas Senior Stadium.
So what has been impressions that you've heard from some of the first-year players about coming to Wenatchee? I'm always curious as to hear what whether it's Apple Sox players or some of the kids on the Wenatchee Wild think about Wenatchee and the hometown fan support.
For a lot of the guys, and I was talking to one of our relief pitchers, Ryan Eisler, the other day. He's an incoming junior going to University of Antelope Valley in California. And he's a Sammamish, Washington native, but he was telling me, it's really cool how many people come to the games and how you kind of see a lot of the same faces every day. He said, I've been really impressed with the fan support. He said, these are some of the biggest crowds I've pitched in front of before. So for a lot of guys, that's the neat thing about summer ball. Whether you're D1 or you're maybe playing in the NWAC at the JUCO level, you could be playing some of your biggest crowds of your life in a lot of ways here in the summer. I think a lot of guys have just been really impressed with our fan support, and attendance has been great. There's been a lot of fun nights this year, a couple bobblehead nights, a cap giveaway, and they've showed up. And our coaching staff is always really quick to credit them because, as they always say, they really notice when we have fans in attendance.
What about the new start time? How has that gone over with the fan? Have you gotten a fan reaction, 6:35? I think for most people, that's maybe still just not too early to get to after work. But at the end of the game, I think that's a much more convenient time to be getting home, especially if you've got kids.
Absolutely, and that's where we've gotten the most compliments, especially in early June when the kids are still in school. They said they've really enjoyed the earlier start time. A half hour may not seem like it, but it makes a heck of a difference. With a three-hour game, you're probably getting home just after 9:30 or so. So that's much better than past 10 o'clock or even later if you're brave enough to stay if there's an extra inning game. So it's been really nice. And thankfully, we haven't treated the fans to any extra inning home games yet this year.
Okay, well, don't jinx it.
Now that I say that, it probably will be a 14 inning tonight.
Yeah, don't jinx it. So last night, let's see, we got plenty of offense.
That's right.
Was it 14 runs? Or
14-8 victory.
14-8, so 22 runs. So you got You got plenty of action for your very affordable ticket price.
That's right.
Seesaw affair, and then we put Portland out of their misery with a big eighth inning.
Yeah, Portland had tied it up with a two spot on the top of the eighth, and I kept thinking, here we go, because the first two games of the series have been kind of back and forth. You score, we score. You score, we score. And then the Apple Sox, it's almost as if they kind of wanted to get it over with, but almost like the floodgates open too. Six runs come across, 10 batters come to the plate in the inning. And then we go to the ninth, and 1-2-3, Alex Schmall strikes out the side. So Portland's a team who I'll give them a lot of credit. You know, they had the worst batting average in the West Coast League entering last night's game. They scored the fewest runs in the league as well. They put up 8. They gave the Apple Sox a test last night, and they're a good team as well. So tonight's not going to be easy just because Portland's lost the first two, even by the lopsided score last night.
And they're are they still owned by John Ryan, the former Seahawk
player? Yeah, he's a partial owner with them, him and one other, I believe, Alan Miller. They might have a third, but those two are the majority. Yeah, and John Ryan got a chance to meet him this offseason, the winter meetings. A great guy, and he's just really enthusiastic about that product. And it's really cool. It's always nice when you've got a cool face. You know, the Corvallis Knights, their sponsor is Penny Knight, the wife of Phil Knight, of course. So it's really cool when you see some of these connections with some of the teams.
So what's next for you coming up in the off season? You're going to be hanging around here doing play-by-play in sports on some different channels or whatever, just kind of keeping your hand until next season?
Yeah, that's the plan, try and do some high school football, maybe get some basketball as well. Really looking forward to doing that. Last year was the first year I'd ever called high school sports, and I had a blast. I didn't know how much I was going to like it or not, but it's fun covering the youth talent. It's a lot of great talent out here to watch it. Basketball is probably my favorite, especially once it gets a little bit colder, but football is a good time as well.
So is this your second season with the Apple Sox?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so,
it is.
So let's talk a little bit here before our time runs out. We got a couple more minutes. So how did you come to the Apple Sox organization?
You know, a little over a year ago, probably March of 2018, I just had a day where I was in the middle of my senior year at West Virginia University of College, and I was kind of sitting, I said, I don't have a job yet, so I'm just going to go all out. And I applied to about 30, 40 different jobs across a couple of days. And the Apple Sox were the first team to get back to me because all I was applying for was...
All play-by-play, right?
All play-by-play. So all I was doing was applying for that. And this was the perfect place for me to really start because you don't just jump from right out of college right to a minor league team. So I came along to the Apple Sox, and I always tell people, in a lot of ways, I'm kind of like the players. I'm just trying to make it to the next level as well, and I'm trying to hone my talents as well. They've got a much more difficult task in a lot of ways than I do than just talking to myself the whole night. But I do it the same way. I have a similar goals to what they do, is hoping to get up to that professional level.
So what is the likely jump from when you're doing this level of baseball? Do you try to make it to a minor league organization, mm-hmm. maybe even not on the air, but kind of helping out with the operation of the team, maybe front office stuff, but they know, hey, this guy has got some play-by-play, and and then you also get a chance eventually to make the broadcast team. How does that process usually work? What have you been told?
It's weird for this industry, the broadcast, I'm sure you're familiar. It's just weird moving up in some ways. For the play-by-play spot, I've talked to a lot of friends who are around my same age, some who are a little bit older who have moved up. You know, a lot of them will go on. They're kind of asked when they go to the minors task to multitask. So they're working normally during the day, and they're doing the games at night. As for example, I've got one friend. He's calling games in North Carolina. I think it's a single-A short season team, and he does ticket sales for them. And then he calls the games at night. However, he's like there, as they call it, we call it the number two guy, meaning he calls the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings as play-by-play, but he's colored the other innings. So it's a way to move up, and you hopefully get to that number one spot at some point. And I'm eager for that. And in a lot of ways, I tell people my goal is just to get another partner on air, because right now I'm calling him solo. So if I get up to the next level, I'm calling a game with someone else again, and then hopefully to try and keep rising from there.
Yeah, and then working with a partner. But just look at it this way. You just get more experience faster when you're doing all nine innings.
Absolutely, and I do really enjoy that. Last year, I always tell people it was a challenge for me. I had never called baseball ever, a whole game on my own. So when I came up here last year, and then June 1st in Victoria, opening day for the Apple Sox, it kind of hit me a few moments before the start of the game. Oh, wait a sec, what did I get myself into? But it was definitely a learning experience. I felt like I've learned a lot. I worked hard this offseason to try and fill that time a little bit better. And I'm really excited with how this year's gone. And like I said, hopefully we get a few more games for the postseason to do.
All righty. Outside of Wenatchee Apple Sox, what's your favorite baseball team?
The Pittsburgh Pirates, hands down. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and most summers I'd go to at least 15 games a year. I went to one this year. I was back home in April, so that at least can keep a streak alive of going to a game every year. But that's the only one I'll be getting to this year. Won't be able to go back in the fall at all. But no, I still try to keep up with them. It's really tough in season, but once the season ends, I'll go back to watching games normally.
Okay. The ballpark opens tonight at 5:30.
That's correct. 6:35, first pitch. And like we said, the book is on sale tonight. It's called One Inning at a Time, 20 Years of Apple Sox Baseball, available for purchase. And I really think people will enjoy it, whether or not you even know anything about the Apple Sox. Hopefully you'll learn a little bit about them, you'll learn a little bit about Wenatchee, and you'll learn about summer college baseball.
Okay. Good luck to the Apple Sox tonight and you in the future, but he's around here and hopefully next season.
Yes, I'm planning on it right now. So
okay, good luck to you. Thanks,
Thank
Joel.
You.
Good luck to the Apple Sox tonight, taking on Portland, going for the sweep, we hope. 12:29 now when we come back. We're going to talk about figure skating and a huge event coming to the iFiber Rink and Town Toyota Center starting Wednesday on News Radio 560 KPQ. That's next on the agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, I'm excited because I enjoy watching figure skating on TV, and I've gone to some of the Wenatchee Figure Skating Club events. I've gone to their event in the iFiber Rink, just marvel at the talent of the kids. But I want to let you know that we've got over 400, as I understand, top figure skaters in the country descending on Wenatchee starting Wednesday for an event that's never been hosted in the Northwest, I understand. And it took a lot of work over many, many years to get this event here. And here in studio, I want to introduce Franz Bedard, who is the iFiber Rink Manager, and Pam Dawson, who is the co-chair of the event here in Wenatchee, the 2019 National Showcase, and also Mark Miller, who's General Manager of Town Toyota Center. Welcome to all three of you. Thanks for coming in today, and congratulations. I know you just don't go make a phone call and say, hey, we'd be glad to host, and this happens. It takes a lot of work for this to happen. Franz, we'll start with you. I know you couldn't be more pleased to be busy with your hands full putting this on, because this is quite an achievement.
Absolutely. We're very excited. The Wenatchee Figure Skating Club has been working many years to be able to reach that level of competition, to be able to host. And we've got many, many competitions behind us. And this one is a unique one, and we're very excited to welcome everybody to Wenatchee to come and watch and see our beautiful region.
Pam Dawson is here, and you're co-chair, but also I'd imagine that you're involved in figure skating on a number of levels. How did you pull this off? Because this has never been held in a Northwest venue, I understand.
It's unique in that sense, yes, because with the amount of skaters that come in, you do need basically two sheets of ice. Wenatchee is a great facility for this with the arena. The kids are going to be blown away because most rinks that I've seen this done in, it's just small rinks like the Infinity Rink, and so you don't get that arena aspect, so the kids are going to enjoy this. U.S. Figure Skating is looking to move things into other venues and communities to help support and to draw the attendance in, and also to encourage the kids. This is different because this is not what you see on TV as far as the competitive Nathan Chin, those kind of skaters. These are kids that are strictly doing showcase, which is entertainment. It's with props. It's under spotlights. It's unique in that sense.
Going to be a great show. Mark, and I'll throw this one to you as well. You're the general manager of the Town Toyota Center. To be able to pull this event in, how many years have you been working on this?
Well, it is a very complex situation. That there's an application process, there's a selection process, and in the past number of years, we've been lucky enough through some other regional and or slash national type events, and that played into, I believe, figure skating associations to look here as a possibility. So that's why it's so important, and with Wenatchee Figure Skating Club has been so prevalent into forcing those issues to get those events here. And the great part of it is Pam, tell me when I screw this up, but those 400 skaters is actually more than that, because there's some that are actually going to be doing just one event. So it's actually getting up into that 1,200 range of people that will be here. And if you lose little Chamber of Commerce dollars of $67 a head, which I know when you're out of town with kids, you know what you spend, that is going to turn in to anywhere between $600,000 and $800,000 of economic impact in a Wednesday through Sunday time frame. Oh, my goodness.
Great news. Franz, we understand that there are about 20 or more of our local skaters that actually qualified through regional competition to be in this. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't get the free pass. Oh, it's in your home rink. You get to be in this. So some great skating that's happening right here. So tell us how skaters qualified to participate in this starting Wednesday.
Yeah, so they had to attend a competition in the Northwest region, and they had to qualify in the first fourth place. And by qualifying, that allows them to attend the national showcase. So we have two teams. The Wenatchee Figure Skating Club is hosting two teams. And one is 22 skaters, no, 14 skaters, and the other one is 7. And we have some skaters that are also skating individually. So they have been performing and practicing since, I would say, close to a year now. So they're ready, and their performances are extraordinary. It's very rewarding to watch those skaters from the club to perform at that level.
The 2019 National Showcase, it runs July 31st through August 4th. We're talking with France Bedard. She's the iFiber Rink Manager. Mark Miller, who's the General Manager of Town Toyota Center, and then Pam Dawson, who's the events co-chair. Pam, what will a typical day be? This starts on Wednesday. It runs through August the 4th. Is it skating nonstop every day through the 5 days of this? What would fans see if they'd like to go up there and watch?
Okay, Wednesday, we start at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we run until midnight on both rinks. And this is all what we term official practice. So all the competitors that have signed up will get a practice through their event. The main arena, the Toyota Arena, will be the spotlights. And every event running that day, the kids will be performing under the spotlights to get the feel. After that, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we start the official competition. And the skaters then, we generally start between 8:30, and we run till 7, anywhere between 7 and 9 o'clock. On the second rink, we'll be running practice solid, starting at 6 a.m. in the morning, and some nights running till 10, 11 o'clock. So it's a very long day for the volunteers, but it's a fun day. And, you know, you'll see from beginner levels, which is preliminary, all the way up through adults. We have several adults that are competing, and it's just fun to watch. The atmosphere is much different at a Showcase National.
So these are what kinds of we're going to see the full costumes and the spotlights and the music and the choreography, all of that?
Yeah. They're broken into several categories. So we have what is considered light entertainment, which will be the very entertaining, and I can attest for that. Some of the programs are very entertaining. And then you've got dramatic, which, of course, is a little but it's how they interpret the music. So it's all about choreography and interpreting the music. Then you've got duets, which, of course, says for itself. It's two skaters skating, performing. And then you've got mini productions, which is a team of anywhere from 3 to 7 skaters that are out performing and a number, and their music is like about 3 minutes. Then you've got full productions, which are anywhere up to 22 people on the team, and it's a 6-minute long program. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity of being in Santa Rosa when they hosted, and of course, Hamilton was the big thing in everything theatrically. there was a team that did Hamilton, and it was awesome. And I've watched Wenatchee's on the Big Top Perfection. They, in my opinion, will be right up there with the rest of them because they have really worked hard to get a good production.
France, what do, I guess, the winners receive from this? Is it trophies, ribbons, points to another competition? What happens from those that come out on top in their various levels of competition at the showcase?
Yeah, so this one is the celebration of the end of their full year. And for their individual participation in competition events, they all get a medal from place one to fourth. And at the end, we have the Parade of Champions on Thursday, on Sunday afternoon. And then the winners will get trophies. And USFS has also some trophies that they reward the champions on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Franz, are you, skating coach as well? You're the rink manager. What is your background in skating?
I don't do skating.
You don't?
I skate for fun.
Okay.
I skate for fun, and I have a daughter who skates in the Wenatchee Figure Skating Club.
Okay. And a son.
And a son who plays hockey.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Pam? Did you have a background in skating?
I had no background in skating. My daughter was second grade. We had just watched Christy Yamaguchi win the Olympics. She said, I want to do that. She stepped on the ice. That was history. She is now 29 years old, firefighter, paramedic. But I have stayed in the sport. I am also a sectional and regional announcer. So I get invited to a lot of competitions to do that. I'm involved in several different committees within U.S. figure skating, and it's what was her passion became mine, and I just stayed with it and enjoy it. I enjoy watching the kids, watching them grow, going to different areas and seeing how the kids develop.
Have you ever been a judge?
I have not, and I don't want to be.
that'd be pretty hard.
It is hard, and with this event, it's very hard.
Yeah. Mark, again, the facility is, well, first off, the iFiber rink is, we've watched some of the games where the Wenatchee Wild go play. Our iFiber rink rivals that, where, so we've got a great smaller rink, and then, of course, the Town Toyota Center is just a marvelous venue. So I think Pam's right. When the competitors come to see both sheets of ice and the facilities, they are going to be impressed.
It's going to be 5 days of some of the best showcase skaters. Obviously, this region and the Western region have to offer. And you're right. We have two rinks here side by side, the only ones in North Central Washington. So we love to listen to the Valley to use this as a jump start. Your kids want to get into skating. We have learned to skate programs. We've got Wenatchee Amateur Hockey Association. And I tell you, there's no better feeling of just pure power than you take a steak knife and strap it to a pair of kids, and it's amazing what you can do.
What about tickets to this? Are these ticketed events? How do you come watch the showcase? How does that work?
Yeah, you can purchase tickets at the door. And if you would like to come for the 5 days, it's $50. If you come for 1 day, it's $20 at the door.
Okay.
So, and it's fun to watch those kids performing. And they're so creative, and it's very, very different. So hopefully the population will come and watch those kids.
Yeah, and we've got 20 of our Wenatchee Figure Skating Club athletes who have qualified, including Liam Kapekas. Now, he is quite the skater. In fact, in full-time training, I understand, down in the Vancouver area, he's coming back. He was, I understand, a bronze medalist at the showcase a year ago. Well, if I'm not mistaken,
he was bronze medalist at our national championships for novice men. Yes,
yeah, and so he's really from that. The whole family is just so talented, but he's going to be there.
He is. He's part of the production team, and he always shines in showcase. I watched him when he was little, and he does a great job. He's a showman.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, come back with a couple of final thoughts on this event. Again, quite a coup to get it here, and we're going to have 400 skaters. Then you got your coaches, you got family, a lot of fans. It's going to be a big event, and starts this Wednesday at Town Toyota Center in the iFiber Rink, the 2019 National Showcase coming to Wenatchee.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
All right, finishing up with our final thoughts on the U.S. or the 2019 National Showcase. 400 or more figure skaters gathering Town Toyota Center and iFiber Rink starting Wednesday. And we've been talking with Pam Dawson, who's the event co-chair. Pam's not even from here. I just found out she lives down in the Tri-Cities. We won't hold that against you, Pam.
Okay.
But
good.
Thank you. Thank you for helping get this here. Franz Bedard is the iFiber Rink manager. Mark Miller, the general manager of Town Toyota Center. And in case I didn't stress it enough, this has been a three-year effort to bring this here and culminating when at 6 a.m. the first skaters hit the ice, 6 a.m. Wednesday, and it's going to be a five-day showcase. Congratulations. That's a lot of work to do this. When did you first find out you got it, Pam?
Oh, it was there's usually about a year process on the bids. You submit your bids and everything. And the U.S. Figure Skating this time around decided to award it, to announce for last year and this year at the same time. And so last year was in Michigan, just outside of Detroit, and then they announced here. So it's been about 2 years, you know, because you usually get announced about a year before, so you have time to prepare and everything. I think I heard that it was awarded to us while I was at National Showcase in Santa Rosa, which was 3 years ago. And so we've been working very diligently to learn all the ins and outs of putting on a showcase, because it is different from a normal skating competition.
Well, job well done. Franz, iFiber Rink, ready to go?
We're ready to go.
Everything's ready to go. Zamboni all fired up, Mark?
All three of them.
Yeah, I'm ready
we'll
to go.
Need them all.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the facilities side-by-side, unique opportunity to have that much ice. And, of course, all the hotel rooms, I'm sure, are ready to go as well. Wenatchee Chamber of Commerce is glad this event is coming as well, as do all of the merchants and restaurants. So, like you say, it's bringing a huge crowd, perhaps 1,200 or more people in for the event. So, really, hats off and job well done. Thanks for bringing this event to Wenatchee. We appreciate it. Franz Bedard, Pam Dawson, and Mark Miller, our guests today on The Agenda. And have a great showcase.
Thank you.